Yo, 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 welcome to the Legacy Talks podcast. Y'all here with your boy Daryl and my co-host.
This your boy Jay Lloyd, and we are here to talk legacy. So if you want to start a legacy, build a legacy, or leave a legacy, let's go.
Yo, what's going on, people? How y'all doing? Why is this metronome on? We're going to call this the metronome takeoff. Blast off podcast.
3, 2, 1. Take off.
Take off, baby. How y'all doing, y'all? Hope everything is good with y'all. It's Jay Lloyd.
All right, and it's the other co-host, Daryl, man. You know how we get down. If y'all don't, y'all gonna learn today.
You're gonna learn today. But yeah, man, just living life. Everything is wonderful, beautiful. We just, you know, doing this podcast to inspire people, man. A lot of people need the inspiration. I know I do. I listen to podcasts a lot, so I figure, you know, if you listen to it all the time, why not make one, you know? And so we just hope the listeners, you guys, get something out of this, you know, because we're pouring our hearts out, as you can see. As you can see.
I don't think they can see. I think they can only hear the podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right, right. Yeah. You got to feel it, though. You got to feel it.
Y'all can see it if you visualize it, you know. In that capacity, you can see it.
Look, Cat Williams said it best when he was talking to Donna. Use your eyes. That's what they there for. Ain't that to just be hazel looking. You got to... Nah, but... We're going to go ahead and get into it. We just had a couple questions. I feel like this is a radio station. I almost want to tell y'all to call in, but, you know, this ain't a radio. Yeah. But the questions we got, what are the questions? We ain't got no questions.
What's your name? That should be the first question. They don't know who you are. Like, who is this talking on the podcast?
Right. Go to my handy dandy notes.
Boy, get your Blues Clues watching that.
Right, boy. So I guess we could just start with our stories. Just give a quick update of who we are and everything. So I am Justin. Everybody call me Jay Lloyd. Born in Chicago. Wasn't raised in Chicago, but I was raised in the South Suburbs, double S, South Subs. That was lame as hell. I don't know why I just said that. But South Suburbs, Dalton, to be exact, went to the Ridge, Thorn Ridge, and really just had a interesting high school career, you know, getting on top 10. All women on there, and they was trying to keep all women on there. They thought the brothers wasn't smart. Daryl could tell y'all more on that because he was.
We gonna say that for another podcast.
Yeah. Because y'all need to know about that. These women be scandalous. Sorry to the women that's listening. Y'all not scandalous. I'm talking about the women around the street and around the corner, not y'all.
You know, some of y'all, not all of y'all. In other terms.
So, ended up going to Northern Illinois University, studied math with a minor in business, entrepreneurship, innovation. And so, got my degree in 2015, the process of getting that degree, I'm telling y'all, I did 5 years in the summer, y'all, 5 years in the summer. So, when I graduated, I didn't graduate cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lottie, because I was thankful to God that he allowed me to graduate, because I don't know how it happened. It just happened. One day it just happened. So, you know,
thank you, Lottie.
All glory be to God, you know, because I'm telling y'all, some of y'all already know, y'all don't like math right now. But if you was an actual math major and to see the classes that I had to take, there was multiple times I got up, packed my bag, and the teacher asked, sir, where you going? And I was like, excuse me, sir, I signed up for math class, not Greek mythology. This is Greek stuff up here. I didn't sign up for that. Where's the numbers at? And he just chuckled. Oh, this is math. This is the technicality of math. I'm like, look, I don't want to know the technicality of none of that. It's giving me a headache. But long story short, I did graduated and everything. Now, right now, I'm an instructor teaching the kids. You know, Marty Marty, love the kids. I'm at Thornton Township, not the high school, the township. A lot of people get confused with that. And part-time, on the side, I'm working on a really, really big business. Building an empire, y'all, in financial services. And so I'll talk to y'all more about that because as a community, we need to get better at a lot of things. And one of them is we need to get better economically. You know, a lot of people complain and cry about, you know, officers killing us and all that. Well, that's because we don't matter economically. We're, like, non-existent. But when you get, like, different, what you call them, movements like Black Lives Matter, well, one of the main things that we have to get is our money. We got to get our money up. And the only way we get our money up is we got to have a really good relationship with money. All right, because we like to consume, we like to spend, you know, and so I always like to spend too, don't get me wrong, had a nice things and all that, but like Meek Mill says, levels to this, it's levels, you know. Back then, if you would have robbed me, I'm trying to tell you, you would have just been practicing, because, yeah, so that's my story. Of course, y'all will know more about it as the time go on. I'm going to let Daryl tell his story.
All right, so I'm going to come in, and my story is definitely not going to be as long as Justice, man. I almost fell asleep over there listening to this guy.
Look, you don't fall asleep.
We got the pillows ready, boy, man. I was looking like Buddy in the Mayweather fight. I just got knocked out in less than 2 minutes. But nah, man. I was born in Chicago too, man. Raised in Dalton, you know what I'm saying? Out here in the South Suburbs. You know, growing up, all I used to do was run. So, you know, in high school, I did the same thing. I ran track. And of course, you know, I broke the stigma of, you know, girls thinking that they were smarter than dudes in our school, in our high school, you know. I had to break that stigma. Had to break that up real quick and, you know, land my way on that top 10. And I kind of escalated that same thing into college. Now, I'm not going to lie. College definitely wasn't no cakewalk for me, boy. I got to college. Man.
You graduated Thank You, Lottie, too, huh?
Thank you, Lottie, man. Praise you, Lottie. How did I get here, Lottie? I drunk and had a hangover and don't know how I got home, Lottie. You know what I'm saying? But nah, man, my journey was a little bit different. You know, it was a little bit more difficult because I grew up very reserved. I didn't get to experience a lot of things. You know, I had to, especially in high school, I just lived vicariously through a lot of my friends, especially in the terms of partying and stuff like that. So I got to college, you know, I guess in simpler terms, I wild out.
Wilding.
I had some fun. But, you know, I spent a couple years at U of I, and then I transferred over to NIU where I met my buddy. Again, Jay Lloyd over there, you know what I'm saying? We got it done. I got it done over there and finished up and got that degree in electrical engineering. And after I got my degree, you know, I decided that I wasn't staying in Chicago. Then the reason why I wasn't staying in Chicago is actually going to be the topic of what we talk about today, which is change. So I didn't want to stay in Chicago because I knew that I would get comfortable. I knew I would get comfortable, and when you're comfortable, you're not able to grow. Excuse me, let me switch that up. When you're comfortable being comfortable, you're not able to grow. Mm. But when you're uncomfortable being comfortable, then you are able to grow. So that's what I had to get myself ready and kind of get myself out of here. So I shout out to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'm at now, working for one of the banks doing IT, which is something I've always dreamed about. But that's enough about me, man. We're going to go ahead and jump into the topic for today. So the topic is change. And I'm going to just tell a little brief story about how we got into this topic. So, you know, we just passed Christmas. And, you know, happy holidays to everybody out there, man. I hope y'all enjoying y'all holidays. You know, it probably won't be holidays when y'all hear this, but, you know. Hey, doesn't matter.
Every day a holiday.
You know what I'm saying? Every day is somebody's birthday. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's happy hour somewhere. You know, I'm just saying that I don't drink a lot. But I'm just saying that. But anyway, so during Christmas time, I was spending time with my family back at home. And I just happened to hear somebody across the room say that they had got a new supervisor and they don't like change. And it was a lot going on in the room, and I'm already on the, all the way on the other side of the room, and I hear that. And as soon as I hear that, I zone in and I say, like, huh? You don't like change? And I just thought that that was so crazy because, like, no matter how much that we try to think about change or don't like it, it's always consistently happening. Even if you're consistently doing the same thing, the time is always changing.
Mm-hmm. Always changing. You know, I know my family, my parents specifically, they hated change. My father, he hated his job. He hated the way his life was moving, but it didn't motivate him enough to change. And so that's one of the early lessons that I picked up on. People hate change. I mean, they really hate change. And so I heard this story about this dog. It was an old dog.
Uh-oh. Man, you might want to put your phone on the middle of the table, not the end, so you can have one.
I'm an edgy person. I like being on the end. But it was this dog, an old dog that was, he always sat in his spot. He was always moaning and groaning. So a visitor came over, and he noticed the dog will always moan and groan. And so he like, man, what's going on with this dog? So he didn't ask the owner. But one day, he just got real curious. And you're like, man, why is that dog, why is it steady moaning and groaning? And the owner was like, he's sitting on a nail. It's making him uncomfortable. And then he was like, well, why the dog won't just get up and move somewhere else? He was like, well, he like it right there. It's not hurting him enough to move. And so when I heard that story, it made me realize people can be in situations where they hate what's going on and it's actually hurting them. But because of the fear of change or not being willing to being open to change, they stay right where they at and suffer. And that is one of the worst lives you can have is to, you know, because God didn't put us here to suffer. Well, whoever you believe in, you know, did not put us here to suffer. You know, you're supposed to have a fulfilling life. And so your life is not fulfilling or you're not walking in your purpose, it's time to make a change. And that's something that I noticed. Even my vision changed when, you know, my father passed away. A lot just, our lifestyles changed, of course. Relationships, they changed. Some people became closer to us. Some people not so close or whatever. And so you just got to be mindful. Change is cool. Change is, that's how you grow. You know, and who don't want to grow? Imagine your bank account growing. What if it's doing the opposite of growing? You wouldn't like that, right? And so I know change for me, I didn't like it. Honestly, still to this day, I don't like it. But I know it's something necessary that has to be done.
Okay, I wouldn't. I would say that I like change when I'm not pressured to make that change. And what I mean by that is that I like when I'm able to make the change and it's not a force, like I have to be forced to change. When I have to be forced to change, it's a little bit more difficult for me because I have to change my mindset before I make that change. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if I do not change my mindset before I make the change, I'm going to fall right back into the same habits. I'm going to continue to do the same thing. That's just like, for example, if I have a kid that comes to school every day and I talk to him every day about changing his behavior in school, and he changes his behavior, but after school, he starts to hang out with people that are acting the same way in which I told him not to change, what you think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. He's going to revert back to the same things and start doing the same things that he was doing before because his mindset hasn't necessarily changed. The only thing that changed was the environment. He was doing it somewhere else. So that's just like you can take a person and put them in a completely different environment, but if they're still that same person, they're still going to find a way to do the same things.
Absolutely. And that's why that you said that was your auntie. That's why she was like, oh, I don't like change, because she was forced to it. You know what I mean? New supervisor out of nowhere. It wasn't like they chose, like, okay, yeah, we want this supervisor.
But it's forced changes in every day. The time is forcefully changed. If we, as people, could leave the time where it was at, wouldn't we do that?
Oh, yeah. For her, it was new rules, new stipulations, all that stuff. You know what I mean?
But that goes into control. So that's why I said that I personally don't like when I'm forced to make a change, because then it's like I'm losing control. So I can see the perspective of what she had on how she viewed the change, because it's like you're not in control of the change.
You ain't in control.
But that wasn't my issue that I had with what she said. My issue was her reaction to what happened.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like, me personally, that I would have took that same reaction. Like, if that was to happen to me, yeah, I might have been upset in a moment, but I wouldn't have let a moment become a whole day. That's just like if you think about how people say that they have bad days. You can take a bad moment and make it into a bad day. Let me give you an example. If I wake up late for work, if I wake up 30 minutes late for work, one of the phrases that we say is, oh man, this is about to be a bad day. What you're doing right there is you're speaking it into existence. You're telling yourself what you're about to have. And we see that too often. Like we have people tell people that you're not gonna be anything. If you tell a person they're not gonna be anything, you have to tell them 13 times more that they're gonna be something just for them to get back to the balance of zero.
So it sounds like it's more so being proactive than reactive, because seem like when things happen to people, they reaction can not only mess up that moment, but it can mess up their whole day.
Yeah, because they freeze the time in that moment and say that this is the way I feel right now is the way that I'm going to feel the rest of the day, or it's going to get progressively worse.
That's good. So that brings up another good point, you know, just being proactive through change instead of reacting to change. So because that happened, now his auntie looking for a new job. And what if she loved a job? Like, that's what she wanted to do.
I think that you love the job because you got comfortable and we were used to making the same decisions on the day. You know, if I know what type of problems that I'm going to have, then I don't have to become a new person to solve that problem. I don't have to change who I am to solve that problem. I can stay the same.
Or what if that's like her passion job and now she's doing something completely different because of a new supervisor?
But okay, I get where you're going with that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong when y'all listen to the podcast. With anything you do, there's always going to be a trial and tribulation. There's always going to be a period of that thing where you may not like it to the same extent that you liked it in the beginning, that you're going to like it later. Like, you're not going to like that thing at the same levels at all times. That's just not possible.
Oh, yeah.
So, my thing is that may just be a time, or we like to call it like seasons. That may just be a season in her life where we need to switch some up. We need to switch some up so we're going to bring somebody in. Right. Let me pull some different strings for you. Let me close some doors so I can open some new doors for you.
Right, right.
Let me create a triumph so I could create a blessing behind that triumph. You know, but we not thinking like that. We only in that moment thinking about what's happening right then. So if we're only thinking about what's happening right then, it's hard to focus in on the future. And that's why I say, like, we can take bad moments and turn them into bad days by getting stuck in the moment.
In the moment. Because we're so caught up with instant gratification. Hey, instant gratification. We're in the era of that, you know, the instant gratification. People rather microwave the food instead of cooking it, you know. And so when it comes down to with whatever you're trying to do, we want the easiest and quickest route to get there. And we can't, you can't live like that. You just can't live like that. Always look at a LeBron James, you know, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, like just the work ethic that they had, elevating their game, and even they had to change. Michael Jordan in his 30s wasn't the same Michael Jordan in his 20s. Wasn't as athletic. Father Time don't move them on. Like, all right, you can't do that no more. You can't be dunking like that no more because he feel it in the morning, knees off. So what did he do? He elevated to a point where he evolved his game. He started, instead of taking the ball in the hole a lot more, now he's posting players up. And we saw Kobe, he did the same thing. So with change is definitely needed, especially if you're trying to grow upwards, you know. And growth, I heard a quote, either you're growing or you're dying. That's a big, big deal. Big, big deal. That remind me of that line Drake said a while back. I forgot how he said. I'm going to chop it up. Help me out. Mm-hmm. He was like, it was a song with Nicki Minaj. Because everybody dies, but not everybody lives. Something like that. It was something like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That line really stuck with me. And it was the last line in that bar that he had. So he ended it with a bang. And I just really thought about that. Like, man, everybody dies, but not everybody lives. And what he mean by that is people could be 25, 26, 30, no goals, nothing that they working towards. They consuming, you know, in life. And they just, yeah, there we go. I'm really trying to make it more than what it is, because everybody dies, but not everybody lives. Oof. Best line of the year. Even in 2018, even though it was that song was written in 2015. That's a real line right there. But, yeah, man, what y'all think about change? I know me personally, I'm going to be honest. I don't like change because just what Daryl said, you know, you get comfortable, you get the routine and everything, but guess what? You're not being challenged. You're not growing. So I learned to accept it, and I learned to challenge myself all the time because I hate not being challenged. I play chess, by the way, too.
You gonna have to play my nephew. He been trying to play me, but I don't play chess, so I'm gonna learn just so I can whoop him on up. But yeah, man, change is just one of those things that is necessary, and it's one of those things that you gotta accept it, because it's gonna happen regardless if you accept it or not. So it would behoove you to accept it. So I got a couple of questions that are about change. You know, just a little bit of things that for you to, you guys to kind of look forward to while you're thinking about changing. So it's a couple different layers of change, right? So you got the foundation, okay? Second, you got learning what we need to know about the change that you're trying to make. Third, you got planning the change. Four, you got making the change work. And five, you got embedding the change in the organization. And then six is reviewing the change. So those are the steps or the levels in which you can make changes. So what we're going to do is just take about one or two questions from each level, and then we're going to answer the questions about change. So, and this could be any change that you're making now or that you've made before, Justin, and then we could just kind of talk about it that way. So from the laying the foundation, one of the questions asks, why is the change necessary?
The change is necessary to get to a new level, you know. In each level, there's some things that you need to learn, You need to learn whatever lesson needs to be learned. And once you learn that lesson, then it's time for you to move on to the next lesson. But you can't learn the next lesson if you're trying to stay at the same level. So one big one is relationships. You know, people get in relationships and they get comfortable with the relationship and they find out the relationship is not good for them. But they still want to be in that relationship. But it's not helping them. It's actually hindering them, you know. And so that's good to change, right? If it's hurting you more than it's helping you. But so many people fall victim to being stagnant and staying in that position. So that's why change is necessary. So you can ultimately get better, be in a better position. So So now we're going to move on to the next question. Okay. So let's say, okay, so this is a good question. Going back with your auntie, as an employee, let's say you the employer, how can we say this so the workers will understand the change?
That's the question. How can you say what needs to be changed so the workers can understand it?
Mm-hmm. How can, yep. So they'll understand that you laying down a new foundation. So think in your auntie position where she like, nah, I want to stay right here. But you got a vision and you know this vision going to be far better than what they already accustomed to. How would you say that to her?
You have to view the change in their perspective. So you have to understand how each person thinks individually. Once you can understand or look from the other person's perspective, it's easier to dictate the message towards that person and to get it to resonate more with them. Mm-hmm. But the only way that you're going to get to do that is if you know your employees. That's why they say it's important. That's why you always hear people say it's important to make work feel like a family. Because if work feels like a family, then if we feel like family, then I'll know you on a deeper level. If I know you on a deeper level, then it's easier for me to relate to you. It's easier for me to change the messages, to adjust them to you so you can understand them and be the most receptive of them. So it's all essentially then it's just about knowing the employees and getting the message of what I'm trying to get across in a way that they can visualize it in a way that they can see it. So if I'm making a change, what I would probably do in that situation is just ask them questions pertaining to the change that I'm going to make and have them see the change happening in their head before I say something to them about it. So once I get them to see in that direction, then I say, this is what we're going to do to go in that direction.
It's a good way to look at that. That's a good way to handle that.
All right, so we're going to move on to the next category, which is learning what we need to know. Okay, so, this is a good question, man. How well do people trust their leadership?
How well do people trust their own leadership?
Like their leadership. Like when you're talking about like making changes. So let's put you on the other end. Let's say you're the worker. How well do you trust your leadership to make a change?
So the supervisor. You know what? It would depend on one word. Discipline. I believe discipline can make or break a leader. If you have people, think about it. When you watch sports, we only so entertained by sports because of the discipline of the athletes. While people watching TV, they working. While people partying, they working.
But we don't see that.
Oh, no. You don't see it. You see it on the court or you see it on the field or when they in their zone. I mean, it could be a financial advisor. Like, you ask them a question and you blow them away with the answer. Like, oh my God. You can tell that person really dedicated some time to that. So for me, it will be a person that has good discipline. Discipline is key because everyone loves a disciplined person. Everyone would accept a person that is a leader if that person is disciplined.
So you're saying if you were an employee and your supervisor was a person that was very disciplined, that would make you form the trust in their leadership to be able to make the change.
Because if he disciplined enough to do that or whatever, he can carry us in ways where we can't.
Okay.
That was a really good question. Let me see. So, I like this question. What's actually going to change? And what will people have to give up?
I think that's probably the hardest part about change is because most of the time what we're giving up is an emotional attachment to something. So, for example, I've been switching my food lifestyle, the way I eat. So, as a kid, I always ate ice cream growing up, right? So, if I always ate ice cream about every night, if we had ice cream in the freezer, I was eating it. Hey, who ate the ice cream? You know you ain't got to ask who ate the ice cream because we already know. If there's some ice cream in there, I'm eating it. You know, so that was something that I did every night. If we had it, I was eating the ice cream. So, I mean, as an adult, to knowing that, you know, dairy isn't necessarily the best thing to put inside of your body. And me being a guy that likes ice cream, that obviously is a challenge. So what do I have to give up? I have to give up my emotional attachment to the food. But giving up an emotional attachment is not something that can happen overnight. So it's something that you have to be very intentional about. So what I did this year was start by doing cleanses. So the first cleanse I did was about 2 weeks. So I went 2 weeks without eating ice cream. 2 weeks without eating chicken, eating any poultry or any meat. So I slowly started to kind of give up those things. And as time went on, I was able to do that even more. Like the month of May, I didn't have any dairy. I didn't have any dairy for a whole month. So that's progressively was getting better and better at it over or throughout the year as I worked on it. Now I'm not saying that I didn't have my dips and you know what I'm saying? I didn't have my dips and dipping that ice cream. Now, I definitely did that, but I can say now that I'm very intentional about it. So if I do have some ice cream, I'm easily able to bounce right back to my regular routine where I'm able to act like I didn't even have it, where I'm not stuck in that moment or the emotion with that moment.
That's good.
I learned to get out of the moment. So I had to give up the emotional attachment in terms of the food. So, I mean, that's pretty much my answer to that question and how I'm making that change now is that I have to start vision. Also, the other thing is that the way that change is going to happen is by you visualizing it. Because if you can't see it, sometimes you can't do it. But I know we walk by faith sometimes and not by sight. So when you can see it, you can do it. When you can't see it, you got to lean on that faith.
Yeah, I believe you hit it right on the head. That's pretty much why we visualize. You know, see it in your mind's eye. Because it says in the good book, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, and that's the definition of faith in general is seeing something before it actually happened. Like you never saw it happen. So now you have to use belief and faith in order to make it happen.
Okay, so we're going to move on to the next question. And for these one, we're gonna take it down to one question for each one because we want to wrap it up a little bit. So, my question for you, Justin, in the planning the change process, is how can we remove the obstacles and amplify wins?
Oh, that's a real good question. How can we remove the obstacles and amplify the wins? You know, that goes back to mind power. It's the battle is really in your mind. And so removing obstacles, I wouldn't focus so much on removing the obstacles because there's always going to be obstacles in the way. But what you can do is change your focus. What are you focused on? Whatever you focus on, you bring more about. So if you focus on small victories, you know, it don't have to be big victories, small victories. So like Daryl was saying, ice cream, that was a weakness. Well, if we stop looking at the fact that ice cream is good and it's ice cream in the fridge and it's ice cream even in the refrigerator and it's under the bed, it's everywhere. It's ice cream just everywhere. We stop focusing on that and we focus on, okay, today, even though he may have committed to a week, 2 weeks, to not eating any ice cream, he say, today, I'm not having any ice cream. I'm not going to mess with it. I'm not going to look at it. Nothing. And then he get by that day. Now, to somebody that's first hearing it, you know, they may be like, oh, you only didn't do it for a day. That's a big win, though, coming from the history of eating ice cream all the time. Saying the good book, do not despise small beginnings, you know, because you never know where it will take you. Now, that one day turned into 2 weeks, and that 2 weeks turned into 1 month. So you got to focus on the small wins, and the small wins is just something that's getting you better. You moving forward, you progressing, no matter how small it is, because them small victories will make up the big victories. You'll start getting some momentum, and you'll start amplifying all your wins.
So actually, you did remove the obstacle. You removed the obstacle. So you're saying you removed the obstacle by just simply not focusing on.
Yeah, you got to be focused on what you can control. Yeah, and that's something that we all go through. That's a lesson that actually I just learned. You know, with my family situations, you know, you want to focus more on your vision or whatever you're trying to accomplish. Distractions, it'll always be there. Because some people would look at it like, well, I can't eliminate my obstacle. Well, baby, that ain't going to happen. You're going to always have them as long as you're living. But what you can do is change what you're focused on, and then that way you would distract yourself from the distraction. I like how I put that.
Okay, we're going to move on to number 4, making change work.
Making change work. So,
nothing about the train in the background.
Hey, we are the train. So if y'all hear the train, we just on track, baby. We just on track. Ooh. So, what are the plans or your plans in order of priority to manage resistance?
Okay, I'm gonna go right back to talking about the ice cream. Okay, so for me, in order for me to not eat ice cream, what I have to do is have something ready to eat available right there. If I always got something available to eat, then I'll eat that and that'll satisfy my hunger. Now, that might not satisfy my desire to have the ice cream, but it'll satisfy my hunger. Mm-hmm. If I can satisfy my hunger, that means I don't need to eat the ice cream.
So if I can eat that,
and then I still want the ice cream, then that's another battle. But that's a small win that I just took by me not eating it when I instantly want it right there. So what I've done right there is pretty much silence or slow down that impulse. So I made myself think more on if I really want that. Do I really want the ice cream or do I really want something to eat because I'm hungry? So by making myself think more about it, I can't make a quick decision and then quickly regret it.
Gotcha.
It's a more thought out process.
Yeah. So it sounds like you planning it and preparing for that battle. It's like, okay, ice cream, I know it's going to get me a little later, so let me do this in replace of that. It's almost like a cause and effect.
Yeah, that, and then, two, understanding when I make the decision that we're going to go back to the bad day. There are going to be moments of weakness. It's just going to happen. There are going to be moments, but I'm not going to get stuck in that moment. I've grown to realize that feeling is going to fade. If I stay the course and just keep my mind focused on where I'm going, that feeling's gonna go away. But if I eat that ice cream after I just took 3 weeks of not eating it, man, I just lost 3 weeks right there. But the next day I'm able to turn back around and act like I didn't lose that 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But right then, right after I make the decision and it sink in that I feel that something that I'm trying to do, it's gonna hurt. So it's you're gonna have to choose the pain of without. Or the pain of regret. You gotta choose one.
I like that. Pain of change. Or the pain of regret. What's the next question?
Okay, we're gonna get to at least the last two. So the last five, so number five is embedding the change. So the question I'm gonna ask you is how can we make this a natural part of everyday life?
That's a good one. The way you make it part of everyday life. So obviously, whatever the change is, it betters your life. So one good example is, let's say you never go to the gym, and now you start going to the gym. To make that a part of your life is pretty much just planning it out. So if you're a person that never, ever, ever went to the gym, and now all of a sudden you going to the gym, maybe it's January 1st and you like, all right, I'm about to go to the gym and I'm going to be proactive in the gym, going 3 to 5 times a week. I'm going to be a stud and I'm going to work out extra hard and be in tip-top shape. Well, what you want to do is start small. Don't have goals that impress people. Have goals that you can actually accomplish. So if you in your 30s, 40s, and you never went to the gym, now all of a sudden you saying I'm going to the gym 3 days a week. You know yourself better than I do, of course, but you want to really put yourself in position to win. Maybe a better goal would be going to the gym 3 times a month. See, that don't sound
small, back to the small wins.
Right. That don't sound as appealing as 3 times a week. But what people want to do is impress people. Don't impress people. Go to what you can do. Anybody can go to the gym 3 times a month. And then you start casually increasing it. Especially a person that never... Now, some people, they never went to the gym. And they'll be able to go to the gym 3 to 5 times a week. You know, but everybody's different. Majority of people would not be able to do something like that with anything. You know, when you're making a change... It's a lot that goes into that process. So going back to the small things, getting those small victories. And then once you do it small, then you can start incorporating it in bigger assignments and in bigger things that you're trying to change up. And next thing you know, now you're going to the gym 3 to 5 times a week for the rest of your life. And it all started with you going to the gym 3 times a month. So that's how I would incorporate that in my life, is just breaking it all the way down to the smallest victories, smallest goals.
Okay, so the last one is review the change.
All right, so it's I'm gonna ask both. First and foremost, how do you review the change? And then how can you learn from any lessons learned?
So how do you review the change? Mm-hmm. You review the change by just like if I set a goal, right? It's about if I reach the goal. The way you'll know if you reach the goal is if the change is what you visualized it to be at the beginning. Mm. If the change is not what you visualized it to be at the beginning, then you can go back and repeat some of the steps from 1 through 5. So that can be laying up. You could go back and lay the foundation, go back and learn what you need to know again, plan the change, making the change work, and embedding the change. But reviewing the change is all about analyzing. I'm very analytical, so throughout the whole change process, I'm analyzing whether I'm making the right things to make the change work. So I'm reviewing it while I'm doing it anyway. That's just me now naturally. But if I was going back, if I needed to review a change, if I say I wanted to get up every morning at 8 a.m., right? I don't know. No, actually, let's say I wanted to get up every morning at 6 a.m., 6 or 5 a.m. to go to the gym. So let's say out of 7 days a week, I get up 6 days and go to the gym. And each day I get up and go to the gym, I make a little tally marker on my board. So that's how I can review the change that way. I can also review the change by keeping a daily log. I'm saying, did I do what I was supposed to do today? Did I make the change? Did I make the change that I was trying to make? So it's different ways in which you can do it. You just want to make sure that it's applicable to you. You know, for me personally, I'm assessing while I'm making the change, like at the same time. So when it comes to reviewing it, I won't say I don't have to make that step, but I'm making that step while I'm making the change.
That's good.
The other one is how can we learn how can we learn from any lessons learned? Oh, well, I mean, you simply learn from lessons learned by analyzing what you didn't do or what you did do and didn't do, and utilizing that to propel you in the future. So if I went to the gym 6 times out of 7 times, and that time that I didn't go to the gym was because I hit the snooze button like 4 times, I know when I'm hitting the snooze button, I better not get the 4. Next time I know, I better not hit that snooze 4 times. Because I know if I hit that snooze 4 times, my memory going to kick in. Muscle memory. Muscle memory. It's going to kick in. It's going to say, oh, that means go back to sleep. You know, our body works on rhythms. Circadian rhythm. We're going to get into that on a later podcast. But our body works in rhythm. So our body works in routine. So if we can get on a routine, like we was talking about making a change a part of everyday life, and we can get into a routine of that change, then that becomes the new norm. So we could just we can review the change that way.
That's good. That's how life is easier for us, through rituals and habits, you know, and stuff like that. We're going to take some time, another time, real soon, to talk about visualization, because that came up a lot. And part of going, you know, fulfilling your purpose and having a fulfilling life is having a vision. You know, in the good book, it talk about write the vision and make it plain. A lot of people, you know, always got away from the make it plain part. Make it plain. You know, you want to make whatever your vision is, you want to make it plain as possible. Real easy to understand. So that's what we'll leave y'all with. We enjoyed y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed us.
Yeah, once again, man, this is the takeoff.
Take off. We taking off, baby. We taking off.
And this is your co-host, Daryl, man.
And Jay Lloyd. We'll talk to y'all.
Nails did, hair done, with her swag on. Thick chick, the type of girl you could bag on. I seen her, I could take you to the VIP. All you gotta do is come roll with me. I promise I can fulfill your fantasy. Beauty out this world, I swear you touch another side of me. Especially when you're next to me. Excessively thinking how this was meant to be.